All right. Thanks for having the River 105.9 on iHeart Communities. I'm Renee Danino, joined now by the one and only Kathleen Madigan. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello. How are you?
I'm excellent. It's so cool to talk to you. I talk about you all the time on my shows because I think you're one of the most amazing comics on the planet, as well as being a female.
Well, thank you. A long time ago, the Detroit Press said I was ninth funniest in the globe. So, of women. And I'm like, first of all, there's a billion Chinese ladies we haven't heard from yet. So don't count them out. And somebody goes, does it bother you? You're nine. I'm like, no, I made the top 10. I'll take it. Nine is fine.
I always hate when people, I'll hear people in the industry say, oh, I love comedians, but well, women comedians aren't my favorite. And I think to myself, why? And why do we always have to brand things funniest female comedian? Like, you're just a funny freaking human being. Like, seriously.
I think it's old school with it because they still do like the Academy Awards for female and male. And
right.
Award shows are done like that. So then because they want to make money making up more categories. So it's just going to stick until those people stop being hoes. They got to stop being hoes and make their award show shorter.
Well,
just go, here's the best actor, whoever it is.
I completely agree, but we can't fix that today. September 10th, you're going to be at Foxwoods Resort Casino. How cool is that? You're right here in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I love Foxwoods. That's a really fun gig. And then I do Boston the other night, and that's fun. So it's fun and it's easy. Because some of these places are very hard to get to, and that is not.
No.
So no excuses. No excuses, Connecticut. It's not hard to get to. If I can get there, you can get there.
Now you're off your rocking chair. You're out on the road. You're having fun. If people have followed you during the pandemic, you have provided countless days of entertainment with some of your close friends. So what is it like to be? I know you've been doing it for a little bit now, but what was that first initial show like when, you know, you could perform again after the pandemic?
Well, it was weird because I went down to a little club in Nashville, and it was it's called New Material Mondays. And I didn't want to go in the green room because it was way too crowded and it's too tiny. And I don't trust, as I call them, the children, which is anyone under 30. And so I went out to the bar area. But then I saw the crowd coming in and they're so young. I'm like, oh, my God, you're the people I'm making fun of. This won't go well. And it went great. They laugh like they seem to know the jokes are true. So I'm like, OK, well, it was nervous. Wracking though. It wasn't like doing it the very first time, but when you haven't done something in like a year, I don't know. It didn't take me long. It took me a couple shows. It took the older comics much longer. It took Ron White 4 months to get 20 minutes back. I go, well, if you have 20, you can open for me. Stop now. You're good.
Well, we should note, you have the coolest best friends in the industry. Obviously, you and Louis Black have a long history, and then Ron White. It's just very... how did that happen? Sorry, that's the best way I can ask that question.
Here's how it happened, and here's why it probably won't happen again, which is unfortunate for the children, as I call them. Like,
yes.
Back in the day when you did comedy clubs, the comedy club always had a condo, and all three comics lived together for a week. So you really got to learn, who do I like and who do I not like? Who do I have fun with and who do I not have fun with? And then they just became lifelong friends, because you kept doing it. Like, I'd see Ron, like, once every... 3 months, and we'd live together for a week because he was the headliner and I was like the feature act back then. And then, but they don't really have those condos anymore. And I feel like some of the condos were gross, really gross, but at least you got to make lifelong friends. It was sort of like being in an army or something. I don't know, but that's how it happened, because otherwise you just see somebody at a club.
Now,
and I don't know, that's it, you know?
I don't necessarily, well, I have to say this. Truthfully, I don't watch The Real Housewives of anything. I don't have anything against anybody. Those aren't the shows that I watch.
Either.
But what I'm saying is you could do The Real Comedians of New York. Like, that sounds like that condo show. I would happily watch that show.
Yeah, that would be more fun, I think. I don't understand the Housewives yet, but I don't understand the Kardashians. Sometimes it would be on in the gym and I would like think, okay, well, I must be missing something. Everybody seems to like it. And I'd watch like 10 minutes ago. Okay, I still don't get it. I don't know who they are, Like, one could be my UPS person. I wouldn't even know it. Like, any Kardashian.
Sure that's not the
I know
case,
what
though.
The mom. I don't think so. I know what the mom looks like because they keep putting her out there. But the rest of them are all interchangeable to me. But apparently, they're very successful. And then some radio person said, I don't even know how their dad was a lawyer, but what did they do? And they go, her and her sister made a sex tape. I'm like, I'm pretty sure me and my sister aren't going to make a sex tape. So I don't think we're ever going to be Kardashians.
But you're ninth in the globe, so you don't your sex tape is done. You're past that point of sex taping. Sex tape now is a scandal for you at this point. That could shut down your career.
It could roll into bad, and my parents are still alive, so let's not have anything like that happening. I always wonder, don't you have parents? Aren't you mortified? Like, I couldn't even go to Thanksgiving if I did that, because I know even if my parents didn't see it, I would know that they knew about it, and I would just be mortified.
I know.
And the people are like, it's empowering. I'm like, maybe to you. Here, my power is I'll be on the deck in my clothes. How about that?
I don't know. I'm at my age. My mother holds such a fear of, sometimes I'll post something and I'll like, maybe my mom will see that and I probably shouldn't post that. But like, I can't get grounded anymore. I can't be sent to my room. She can't tell me that I can't have Cookie Crisp cereal anymore, which I've never tasted. I have all my whole life. I've wanted Cookie Crisp cereal my whole life, Kathleen. I'm not allowed to have the sugar. And as I, as an adult, have been shopping for years on my own. When I walk down the cereal aisle, I'm like, can't have those. Like, but I can.
Oh, what if somebody gave them to you? Then you would have to.
I don't even know where to go with that. I don't know. It'd be like I've just not been allowed to have it.
Well, tell your listeners you want it for your birthday.
Cookie Crisp.
Somebody will send a thing. Yeah, somebody will send a box.
Cookie Crisp. I don't know the delights of bad for you cereal. I only know Cheerios. Frosted Flakes was if my mom was being careless and reckless as a parent. Frosted Flakes.
Love Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, I do.
They're
too
expensive though. It's all expensive. Cereal's like crack. My brother goes, I was at the store. He goes, get Kevin a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's all his 6-year old eats, like morning, noon, and night. And it was like $8. I said, is this right? Am I in a wrong store or something? Pat's like, no. I go, this is like crack. You're going to become broke and desolate over Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Pat. You better get a rein that kid in and give him some eggs. We don't have time for that. You don't know what it's like. I'm like, okay, whatever. I still think about what I post because I know my parents scoot around online. They don't understand Instagram, but they do Facebook. And I try to tell all my nieces and nephews, I'm like, whatever you do, don't friend Grandpa. He's a spy. He's playing for the other team. He will get you in trouble. He will report like a World War II officer back to your parents, and you won't know where it came from. And the one nephew goes, but I already friended Grandpa. I go, unfriend Grandpa and tell him it broke. He won't understand what that even means, and he'll just accept it. I mean, my parents, once they learn Facebook, that's what they do at night. They lay in bed and watch Netflix and then scan everybody's Facebook. I'm like, the kids don't get it. I'm like, it seems innocent enough. Sure, I'll friend Grandpa. Mistake. Huge mistake. They're spies.
They're spies. And Kathleen, your humor is so fantastic because it's just real. It doesn't seem like you're trying to get a laugh with curse words or any type of situation. It's so natural and it flows out of you. And I know there's a lot of work. And I admire comedians so much because of the crafting of it and the gift that you have on stage. I would kill to have that kind of talent. I can do it in my studio for like short clips on the air or like maybe say a couple funny things in an interview here and there, but to do it on stage outside of being an MC, I'm like in awe of the brilliance of it all. Even if a comedian bombs, I'm still in awe of what it took to get up there and do that. So tell me where where comes from within you, because obviously you decided your brand of humor, which is real. It's sometimes current events. It sounds like you read the New York Times and study global issues, like it's and as well as catfishing as well. But you it sounds like you rely on reality, your life, and you somehow make it so real it doesn't even look like we're watching a routine.
Hopefully it doesn't. It should just I won't. I've always just thought it's like a bar conversation, but everybody in my family is pretty funny. And I don't think we knew that till like my sister dated this German guy and he didn't get it like at all. Right. Like a very serious person. He was super handsome. But other than that, and like even my brother goes, oh, my God, his stories are too long. Does he have an edit button? I said, I know. Right. Like my brother gets it. Like I go, yeah, I said, I don't even think he remembers what his story is about halfway through his story. And then finally we got comfortable with him enough that I'd say it. I go, do you know what this story is about anymore? He's like, not really. I'm like, well, neither do we. Neither do nine of us. So edit that and come back again next Thanksgiving with a better version. Like everybody's pretty quick, but you don't realize that until you get around people where humor is not part of their daily running speed. Like it's, and I'm always around other comedians, so I just assume everybody's like that.
Yeah.
So you get stuck with people, and we need serious people. Somebody needs to work at NASA. It can't be me. I mean, we need those people. I'm not devaluing them. It's just different. Like I couldn't be that serious if I wanted to. I don't think I could. It's not like I'm running around like the class. People always go. It's always amazing when people go, so were you the class clown? I was in a Catholic school. No one was a clown. Okay? If you were a clown, you were dismissed forever.
And you got
bye-bye.
A whap on. And when but wait, Kathleen, though, you're when you do those bits, you have no idea how much it relates to so many people all across the globe, apparently. But here, I was truthfully told, kicked out of Catholic school in seventh grade. That's fine. But if you did say something, you got whapped on the back. There was rulers in my time. Like that, those are prisoners now. Like those are DCF prisoners now. Now, like I can only imagine if a child got hit by a ruler, because this kid Fabio, who sat in front of me, he farted and he got the wrath of Sister Patricia. He got like such the worst hit on the back. And I remember seeing that. And then I laughed and then I got hit because I laughed. That's a true story. That's not made up. I did embellish.
I believe you. I mean, we just didn't have class clowns. If we did, they were there till they were escorted out and then hit on the ass and said, don't come back. Like, I thought things, but I wouldn't say them out loud. Or I might say them to the person next to me if I was way in the back. But, like, I don't know. It's just, I think there's just funny people or there's not. I don't really think, like, yeah, we work hard, but it doesn't. It's not hard for me. I do a lot of work, but it is not hard work. Like there's one comedian from Ohio named Vince, and every time before he'd go on stage, he'd be like sweating, and he's a funny guy, but he goes, feel my heart. I go, does this happen every, I would quit if this happened every time. He said, yeah, but once I get up there, it's okay. But I go, when did this start? He goes, like an hour ago. I go, oh my God, no. I would completely quit. Like I could be standing here talking to you and hear the person go, please welcome Kathleen Madigan. I go, okay, I gotta go. I'll be back in an hour. Like it just doesn't. It's no different from standing there talking to you than walking out there. I may have to be a little more animated or whatever. It is a show. I have to do something.
Right.
But it's not. It's not difficult. It's just an easy, weird, strange talent. That like we didn't do, and every comedian I know that is of my friends that are comedians, none of us ever even wanted to be comedians. It didn't even occur to us. We were doing a million other things and then just stumbled upon it. Like there's some comedians I know, and I gotta say some of them are not the funny ones, where they have listened to every comedy album ever. I'm like, you're kidding me. I've never listened to any comedy album ever. Not one. I was a kid. I was listening to Heart and Stevie Nicks. I don't have time for comedy and Wilson Stinging Barracuda. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, before we go any further, Kathleen Madigan's going to be at Fox Woods Resort Casino, the Fox Theater, September 10th. I'll have all the links up online. You can find them at KathleenMadigan.com as well as FoxWoods.com. Obviously, this is why we're chatting, to promote the show on September 10th. Do you have any ranch? It's the 2021 tour. Kathleen, I mean, you make so many people laugh and with your humor. I am a fan of your rocking chair. Like I love when you're from your living room. Like I almost feel like when I come see you, I'll be disappointed if you're not in the middle of the stage with your fireplace and a rocky and a little pillow where you can hide liquor underneath or a little blankie. I like feel like you need that with you.
That's what made me do that during COVID, read those books by the fireplace. I don't know if you remember. I don't even ask me what channel, but I used to come home like after shows and we'd have gone out and had beers. I wasn't like hammered, but just buzzed enough that there was this old nun. I think her name was Sister Angelique.
Sister Angelica. She started that. Yes.
I totally hacked her because she would sit there and just talk to the camera. There was nothing else happening. But if you got into the rhythm of it, like, I don't even know what she was talking about. I don't even know if I disagree or agree. I just couldn't believe this lady was doing this. And like, it was popular. It was on every night. And I'm like, oh my God, here's that nun.
Wait.
It was like 150. She was super old. Nuns don't look old because they don't have stress. So she had to be really old.
And she survived through a stroke, then came back. She actually bought that. She bought that TV station and made it what it was because she couldn't. I used to watch because I used to work 7 to midnight and then you get home at 1 or 2 in the morning and you're a little, you know, whatever. And you're like, what's on? And people would watch infomercials, this, that, the other. I would find this nun. I watched her all the time. And then she died not that long ago. But once I was like, I was so invested in her that I Googled her story. And if you go to Wikipedia, has all the facts about her. So I believe that she did buy that TV station, according to Wikipedia. Bought that station and started. And she's the one, I definitely don't believe in all her views and all the programming that's on there now. But they still, every once in a while, if you turn it on or whatever, you can still find her doing the rosary. And she'll read it to you.
Oh.
And like it's like a hologram of her face. I'm not kidding
you. I got to go hunt for it now.
You don't understand how we need to be friends. You just don't get it.
And then I also need to understand, where did a nun get that kind of capital? Where's the cash coming from? Somebody raided the bingo fund and said, I'm buying a TV station. I don't even understand. I'm going to have to do a deep dive.
Please do a deep dive on Sister Angelica because you will not be disappointed. I can't wait to see you. I don't know how much time we have. Usually only have 7 to 10 minutes. I need the gong show like hook to take me away from you. So I don't also know if this is your personal home number, which was a huge mistake in giving to me, but that's all right. Kathleen Madigan, do you have any ranch? The tour before we wrap, tell everybody, you know, obviously we've been, hopefully people have been following me online. If they haven't, they should for a lot of laughs. It's a stress reliever for sure. But what can we expect to see? Are you reviving any of your old material? Is this going to be all brand new?
Yeah, I'm trying to do. Oh, yeah. It's not. Some of it's new, but like new before we stopped, because I can only write jokes if I'm working. So this is what I always try to keep my act at. Some super old, I call that the classic things that people want to hear. Some semi-new and then new. So it's like old, middle, new, because then I think nobody can leave disappointed. Like if I went and saw a concert, if it's Stevie Nicks, I want to hear Landslide. I'll get really mad if I don't. But I also don't care if there's some new ones, and then I just want some classics. And then I'm always happy. So I try to do that.
And will you do an encore if people, you know, clap and stomp? Will you come back out and sing Barracuda?
No, nobody wants to hear that, even if they think they do. Trust me, nobody wants to hear that. No, I don't do comedy encores. I know sometimes Seinfeld comes out and then does a Q&A, which the people seem to like it. But no, I'm more of a union worker. When I'm done, I'm done. I clocked out. We're good.
All right. Well, I'm trying to, like, so I have a lot going on that weekend here because I'm also the director of community affairs. And by the way, I wanted to point out that I'm one of the media sponsors for one of our larger autism organizations here in the state. So I know you, that it says on your bio that you support a lot of.
Oh, yeah. My nephew's autistic, my oldest nephew. Oldest of the second batch. Yeah, I know a lot about it and all that. And I try to do there's a big giant Midwest one that serves like all the Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas. And it's a giant autism center that's super awesome because they can diagnose the kids and then get them on a plan. And then they can go back to Oklahoma and work their plan and then come back if they need to the mothership. So, yeah, because there's a lot more kids that are at least being diagnosed with autism than ever. So, yeah, I'm into it.
Definitely.
I'm into helping.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. We have autism families here in Connecticut and then Autism Speaks I work with. And then so I really love that. So I'm trying to. And then, of course, that's the 20th anniversary of 9/11 that weekend. So I have like all these other duties. So I'm trying to move everything around you. So I'm hopeful that I will Because if I don't get to see you, it might break my heart. But I hope everybody will go get to see you at Foxwoods on September 10th.
Okay, well, if you're there, I'll be there.
Well, that,
for sure.
Okay, good. Because yes, excellent. Because yes. You're performing.
I mean, unless something crazy happens, right? No, I will be there.
All right. Well, thanks for everything, and thanks for letting me chat with you. And I will see you hopefully September 10th. I know everybody here at in Connecticut will be out to come and see you for a great time. And I hope I get to interview you again. I hope you have a great day today.
All right, you too. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.